Golf Smarter number 637. The High Heat 257 Plus pushes golf club design rules to their limits for straighter, longer drives with Dean Knuth.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing stories, tips, and insights from great golf minds to help you lower your score and raise your golf IQ. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to the Golf Smarter podcast, Dean.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
It is great to have you back because you've got some exciting news. Now, I want to, before we get to the exciting news, let's back up a few minutes and let everyone know about why you are back on the podcast and what you've been doing.
Well, 3 years ago, we came out with our cobalt blue high heat line of metal woods, drivers, fairway woods, and hybrids. And they've done quite well. We've sold thousands of them. We've got thousands of customers that are really happy.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. And they're out playing them, and we are winning media awards. And so it's all been going great.
Mm. But I know that there's some Golf Smarter listeners who took advantage of your offer
yes.
the last time you were on, right?
And we thank you.
Yeah.
And hope that your games have been improved because they are designed for amateur golfers.
And that's what I love about these clubs that you've created. You started with a driver, but then you ended up coming out with fairway woods and hybrids. But you've designed these for amateur golfers, for people who are having trouble with, you know, getting the ball up in the air, getting the ball straight, right? That was the motivation behind your design.
That's correct. I had worked at the USGA for 16 years, and I've kept track of all the equipment that's out there, and it's pretty much designed for professional golfers with high swing speeds, over 100 miles an hour, and that's really not what an amateur golfer needs unless they're an extremely high swing speed player, because almost all those clubs have a center of gravity that's forward and up, and an amateur actually needs center of gravity that's deep and down. And that's the way that they have been designed. And then the face plates have always been designed so that they're very forgiving, the most forgiving, so that players can hit it all over the face and still do quite well.
Give me a brief rundown once more about what you did for 16 years at the USGA.
I was their first director of handicapping, and so created the handicap department, which is now so large that they've taken up quite a bit of space.
And it's all your fault.
Yeah. And I also was the inventor of the USGA course rating system and the USGA slope rating system. And so I developed that system to conclusion and taught it around America, and then eventually taught it around Europe. And now with the new world handicap system that's coming into effect January 1st of 2020, every golfing country in the world, I think there's about 80 of them, are going to adopt my course rating and slope rating system.
That's quite a legacy.
I'm really glad that I'm helping amateurs all over the world.
That's pretty magnificent. And that's why I love your nickname of the Pope of Slope.
That's right. I was actually given that from a trip to when I was teaching course rating down to Argentina in Buenos Aires, and they had a Spanish translator. And as I began, they introduced me as the Popa de Slopa. And so I came back home and I mentioned that to a few of my colleagues, and suddenly that became my handle, Pope of Slope.
Popa de Slopa.
Yeah. And I do have an interesting website at popeofslope.com.
Do you really?
That has a lot of information on handicapping and course rating and dealing with sandbaggers and pretty much you name it, a history of handicapping all the way back into the 1600s. So there's a lot of, if you're interested in handicapping, there's a lot of useful information there.
when as you were playing golf and you work in the USGA and you're getting these ideas, were you or are you a gambling golfer?
Not really. I just like a close competition, and I've always hated it when somebody goes out in a big group and a big net event and shoots net 59 or 57 and going, you know, this is just not fun for anybody. And so, you know, that's why I took that job. I had a great job in the Navy. I was lieutenant commander in the U.S. Navy. I was fast tracked. I'd been early selected to that rank, and I could have had a great career if I'd continued with it. But I had this, because I had developed the course rating and slope rating system, I was invited to become the first director of handicapping at the USGA. And I changed that. I had to, you know, move to Far Hills, New Jersey, and disrupted my family. But, you know, it was a really fun experience and got to meet a lot of interesting people and especially helped a lot of amateurs. And then for the last 20 years, I've been in San Diego, and it's a great place to live. I was still helping in amateur golf. I was the general chairman of last year's United States Women's Amateur Championship that was held at our club, San Diego Country Club. So that was a great experience, too. And we had a terrific winner, Sophia Schubert from University of Texas. And, you know, the whole thing was just terrific.
That's fabulous. Wait, you came up with the handicap system while you were in the Navy?
I did.
Oh.
I was always sort of gifted in mathematics and got into the U.S. Naval Academy because I had a perfect score on my math SAT and some other things that appealed to them. And then the Navy and 1975 sent me to Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California. And I was there 2.5 years getting a master's in systems engineering. And I had a design project there on a textbook called Design of Experiments. And you had to collect data and then make conclusions based on the mathematical models in the textbook. And so I went out and collected, being a golfer, I went out and collected thousands of golf shots and developed an obstacle rating system using the different obstacles on a golf course, topography, fairways, greens, bunkers, out of bounds, water, trees, and so on. And developed a system that the USG, well, first the Northern California Golf Association, who had helped me get on these golf courses to collect the data, they told the USGA in 1977 they were going to adopt my system and that it was better. And then the USGA contacted me in 1978 and said, we'd like to make you a consultant to the USGA and we'd like to adopt your course rating system, which they eventually did. But they said that we'd also like you to work on making handicaps more portable. And so I eventually developed what was called when I was still in the Navy, and I was based in Norfolk at the time and out at sea an awful lot, but had a terrific bunch of amateur golfers who played these 10 different golf courses and collected shot by shot. And they helped me develop what's called the bogey rating and what the bogey golfers expected to score. And when you compare that to the course rating, which is the scratch golfer, then that gives you, if you plot it, there's a line which can be steep on a high slope course and less steep on an easier one. And the USGA adopted that as slope rating. And then they needed me to join the staff, asked me to leave the Navy, and which I did, but I stayed in the Naval Reserves and retired as a captain in the Navy, in the Naval Reserves, and worked for the USGA for 16 years before I moved back to San Diego and went to work for Northrop Grumman.
And so how did it become that you started designing golf clubs?
Well, I saw so many different drivers and other metalwoods over the years that were coming out. And they're all based for sales on how the pro plays. Because they advertise with the pros on TV, and the very best pros are often the longest hitting pros. are using what are the major brands, and they play well with them. But that's because they have high swing speeds and other characteristics that make them so good. I mean, they'd be plus seven handicaps if they had a USG handicap. And it's completely different than a 10 to 25 handicap. And so, and I knew that. And so I knew that a deeper and lower center of gravity allows, number one, the bulge and roll on the face, the gear effect to work better. And so that was important. It also reduces twisting. And also that the face had to be designed so that it was more forgiving than the size of a quarter, which some of these major brands are. And I knew I could do it. My wife encouraged me to go out and design. I 15 years ago, I designed my first high heat driver, and I produced 400 of them, sold them all. I got five patents and declared victory. I got my money back that it cost for all this work and production. And then I shut it down. And then 5 years ago, Steve Trattner, who used to be my, well, he was actually the intellectual property attorney at the U.S. Golf Association when I was on the staff. He lived in Washington, D.C. And he asked me, hey, what did you ever do with your driver? I thought it was terrific. And I said, well, I would need more R&D money, which I don't have, if I wanted to really go further and I have a lot more ideas. And he said, well, let's be partners and I'll put the money up front, which he did. And we've been winning awards and a lot in praise ever since.
Oh, that's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. All right, now I got to back up a little bit. I was very happy to hear that the NCGA, the Northern California Association, was up there in the forefront again, as we always are here in Northern California. That's always great. But the slope and rating system, the rating is, okay, if you're a scratch golfer, this is what you could expect to shoot on this golf course. But slope is not necessarily what a bogey golfer would play. Trying to explain slope is really not an easy thing to do.
Yeah. Well, the steepness of the line that plots how fast scores go up as the handicap goes up, the slope line, if you move the, you know, I did it like 130 is the slope rating, because it's like IQ numbers and it's easier to follow. But what 130 really means is that as handicaps go up, the scores go up at a rate of 1.3, not 1-to-1. And so you in the average is 113. That's nationwide average. So that's 113 is the standard, meaning the rate goes up at a rate of 1.13. So, for example, on a 113 slope, the difference between a 20 handicap and a 10 handicap is about 11.3 shots, not 10. And the larger the difference in handicap, the greater the difference in how many strokes somebody needs to receive.
I'm sure for a math whiz like you and somebody who got perfect scores on their math SATs, that all made sense. But let me tell you how bad my math is, okay? When I play golf, if I get a par, I just write a line. If I get a bogey, I write one. If I get a double, I write two. And if I get a birdie, occasionally, I'll write minus one. So sure. Then at the end, I'll look and going, okay, I'm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 over par on the front. And I see what their par is, 36. Okay, I shot a 45. That's how I have to do it. Because if I put all those big numbers in there, the 6 and the 5 and the 3, I would just be adding for, I would actually have to ask somebody for a calculator. It's that bad.
You know, an interesting thing, and this is part of this world handicap system, is trying to make all the different countries happy. But I had worked a lot with the continental Europeans who had broken away from the Council of National Golf Unions years ago, 20 years ago, to create their own golf association for all of the continental of Europe. And they don't even post scores. They post Stableford points, which is if you make a net par, that's 2 points. If you make a net bogey, that's 1 point. If you make a net double bogey, that's 0 points. And I had even encouraged them to make their equitable stroke control, in other words, your hole-by-hole score limit, to be based on Stableford. So basically, you would take the difficulty of the hole, do you get a stroke on the hole, and add 2 to that, and that's your maximum score on the hole. And you know what? The whole world is now adopting that system. So in 2020, the American Equitable Stroke Control Procedure is changing to net double bogey also.
How do you think that's going to go?
I think it's going to go great. That's what I had recommended to the USGA when I was still there in, I think I recommended it about 1995, and I was told, well, that's way too complicated. But the thing was that the system, you just think about it. It's like, you're going to play a par 5. Do you get a stroke on the hole? Probably. So if you do, then that's 6, and net double bogey would be 8. That'd be your maximum score. Currently, the USGA system doesn't make a lot of sense because a lot of golfers, 10 to 19 handicaps, are limited to 7 on any hole. And it doesn't matter if it's a par 3 or a par 5. No, that really doesn't seem very logical. The net double bogey system is a lot more logical.
Mm-hmm. So that means a 5 on a par 3 is your maximum score?
Well, no, it depends. It'll be, let's say, typically a lot of golfers don't get a stroke on a par 3.
Oh,
so
okay.
A five would be the limit, but if you were a 19 or higher, or an 18 or higher, you would get a stroke on a par 3, and so your maximum score on the par 3 would be 6.
6, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that might help on the pace of play.
Hopefully.
Because they're trying anything that's possible.
Yeah, sure.
And you're fine with the fact that people use the handicap system for gambling, for betting. That's really what everyone thinks handicap is for, so you can make a level playing field when you're gambling.
Yeah, well, of course people gamble, and there's a lot of money changed hands, and even at the local level, there's lots of people that are playing for $10 or $20 or whatever, and they're just their fun. And I don't mind, you know, a couple of bucks. If I ever bet anybody, my maximum's $2.
So. When I'm playing with people, if they want, I don't generally like to gamble, but if now I've gotten to the point where, sure, I'm in. Just tell me at the end what I owe you. You know, I don't want to hear every single hole that you're up and I'm up and I just stay out of my head on that stuff.
Yeah.
Crazy enough with money, but yeah, sure. And so last time I played down in Southern California a week or so ago in a country club with these real estate guys, right? 3 real estate guys. Well, they're throwing money around like crazy, right? They're not a podcaster. And so at the end, they're like, okay, you owe us $125 for the round of golf and $40 for the round that you just lost. I'm like, oh, this is a very expensive day. I'm not thrilled about.
By the way, you mentioned Northern Cal Golf Association.
Yes,
so
sir.
The person, when I called the Northern Cal Golf Association, the receptionist switched me in 1975 to Ron Reed. And Ron Reed was working at the NCGA at the time, and he could have blown me off, but he liked the postgraduate school young naval officers and submarines, and so he encouraged me. And Ron was later hired by the USGA. He was the starter for the US Open and other events as part of his job for 20 years. And he just retired recently. He lives in the Monterey area still. And then the head of handicapping now is a guy named Jim Cowan.
Mm-hmm.
And I helped Jim Jim Cowan get the job at the NCGA. He had been at the Pacific Northwest Golf Association, PNGA, for years, and he was a great guy. He was brilliant, and I recommended him to the NCGA because I hired their director of handicapping to the USGA. He was Kevin O'Connor, and I felt badly about taking away their good guy, and so Jim's still there, and he's doing a great job.
Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, the last time you were on this show back in 2017, in June 2017, the following week, episode 598, Jim Cowan was on, and,
wow.
We titled the show, How to Determine Which Tee Box is Best for Your Game Using the Rating Slope Yardage. So
nice.
There you go. Thank you very much for that introduction.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to take a break because I need to be able to pay for my next round of golf, and these couple commercials are coming up. We'll get me to that, and then we'll come back and talk about your brand new clubs. All right, Pope. Let's talk about I love the Pope of Slope. Let's talk about the new thing for the high heat. So let's start with what the issue is for the average golfer.
The big issue is that, and many amateurs don't even realize this, but if you put talcum powder on your driver face and looked at where you hit the ball, you would find that about half your shots are outside the middle area of the face. And yes, the original high heat, the beautiful cobalt blue head, was very forgiving. The speed of the ball coming off the face drops off, on the major brands, drops off tremendously. And on high heat somewhat, the original high heat. And so there was a rule change that the USGA sent in 2016 as a notice to manufacturers. And they said, we are going to permit the maximum of the CT, the characteristic time. And I might have to back up and explain what that means.
Please do.
But it's the USGA test trampoline effect by having the steel ball that's about the size of a golf ball on a little pendulum, and they drop it against the face of the clubs, and they measure the characteristic time, which is how long that the ball remains on the face. The longer that it remains on the face, the more trampoline effect is, and the higher the trampoline effect, the higher the ball speed will be coming off the face. And so they have a limit on the center. They've had a limit for a long time for CT. That's 239 microseconds. And then with the red zone, it goes up to an extreme limit of 257 microseconds, but can't go over that.
Wait, what is the red zone?
The red zone is anywhere above 239 up to 257.
Okay.
And so the USGA, and they didn't explain the change, but they said, we consider the striking area to be what they call the CIA, the central impact area, which is the width of a golf ball, which is 1.68 inches, in the center of the face. And anything outside that, which on drivers, there's a lot of space outside of that. It's not just the toe and the heel tips. There's a lot of space that they said that their red zone could go all the way up to 275 microseconds, which is a lot higher. And I looked at this as an opportunity for amateur golfers, a further opportunity, since amateur golfers hit half their shots outside of the central impact area, that it would be possible to raise it. And we managed to do it I designed three separate trampoline areas inside the face. So there's the central impact area, which operates independently from the other two. And in the center, they're at the USGA's limit. And on the outside of the central impact area, I've raised with a trampoline on each side, raised that up to the USGA's new limit, and nobody else has done that. And I know that for a fact because we've searched all patents and we have a patent application for the technology, and there's nobody there to disclaim it or to say that they've already done it. So we know nobody has done it or is even thinking about doing it. Again, because most of the brands are thinking about pros and not amateurs. And so because this is what I'm all about, is helping amateur golf, we've done it. And so we have a new driver and new metal woods, fairways and hybrids that will be out the middle of May.
Of 2018.
And they are called the Three Trampoline Technology. And the Three Trampoline Technology is in this high heat, 257 plus is the name of it. 257 plus. It's really important because we are so much higher outside the central impact area than any other brand. It's not even close.
Well, I got to say, and I highly recommend to our listener right now that they go to knuthgolf.com, knuthgolf.com. And while Dean is explaining this, you should be looking at the webpage, the homepage, because he's got images and explanations right there. So as you're explaining it right now, I'm able to look at it and it's making total sense. And I'm actually, and you must be as well, completely blown away that nobody else has jumped on this.
I know.
And I use
this year's PGA merchandise show in Orlando, we won best new clubs. So
wow.
And we were not even in a big booth. All these major brands had a big war on who could have the largest booth. I mean, TaylorMade and Callaway were ridiculous this year. They were so big. It looked like a small city.
Really?
And, yeah.
But what were they? They were just showing rehashes of last year's models? I mean, the rules are so strict, they can't make many changes. And yeah, here's an opportunity. The door's been open to do these changes, and no one's doing it. I can't believe it.
You know, I'm not going to discount those brands. They're being used by a lot of tour pros. But Callaway, they created the Rogue, and they made it deeper, which is good. And so they increased the center of gravity back a little bit, not a heck of a lot, even with sliding things. And TaylorMade totally blew me away because they have come out with what they call the twisted face. And they've totally removed bulge and roll in the center of the face. The whole central impact area and a little bit beyond that now is flat. And so the forgiveness that you get from Gear Effect, where off-center hits can be brought back to center, is pretty much gone unless you get out in the extreme areas. And their twist, I mean, I've hit the twisted face, and I've hit it on the toe and the heel, and you hit it on the toe, it stays right, and you hit it on the heel, and it stays left. And so I don't know what the point of it is, other than tour pros don't want to be double-crossed and possibly hit a ball out of bounds, and so they just kind of, like, remove that.
Well, here's what doesn't make sense to me. Don't the tour pros have their clubs customized, every step of the way?
They certainly do, and they change shafts and constantly. I mean, you see Tiger this week. We're going to be surprised if he can hit the fairways are huge at Augusta National, so he'll probably hit some fairways. But he's changed shafts this week, and that's supposedly going to, get him in the short stuff more often. But he's such a talent that he is, if he could just hit fairways. Same thing, Jordan Spieth. I mean, if he's a Titleist guy, and it'd be wonderful if he could be hitting fairways. His fairways percentage is awful. You've probably seen it. You've seen the stats. He'd be shooting so much lower scores if he could be in the fairway. So anyway, that's my bit on that. Sorry to Major Brands. I wasn't trying to put you down, but it's just a fact.
But it, yeah, I mean, it's so easy to do. So if is I'm looking at the images of your 257 plus high heat on your website, and the CT, the impact area, 257 on all three of the clubs, but your heel and toe numbers are so much higher than the other major brands. Is the club face on your club, is it curved, is it twisted, is it convex, concave, or is it flat? No, explain that.
It's convex. It has bulge and roll, which you need when you have a deep and low center of gravity. It allows the gear effect to work so that off center hits can be brought back to center rather than going off left and right. And so, you know, that's a very important thing. I mean, I was reading an antique golf book the other day by Horace Hutchinson. And in 1860s, he was writing about the Bulger club. And it was the first club. They were wooden, of course, and their heads were much smaller. But it was the first clubs that had bulge and roll, which has been around for a very long time, 150 years.
At least.
And is a very important technology. And so... yeah, but you need to have, if your center of gravity is forward and up, then the bulge and roll can't really work very well. It needs to be back and down. And so deep and low, bulge and roll, and now a three trampoline technology face.
So what will we notice what will be the difference that we notice if we hit our high heat driver off the toe?
You won't notice a thing. It just goes just as far.
Really? Is that what it is? It's just going to stay straight and go as far?
Yeah. You know, at the PGA Merchandise Show on the demo day, we had a pretty famous golfer named Sean the Beast Pfister. He was the long driving champion.
And I've had him on the show as well. I remember talking to him a long time ago. He was great.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He was world champion three times, and due to age, he's not at that level anymore. Because unfortunately, like me and probably you and all of us as we age, we're not quite as flexible.
Yeah, we are aging.
Yeah, but Sean said that his, you know, even as great as he is in a beautiful swing, he says that he hits toe hits all the time. And he's always been hitting toe hits. He's always fought that. And even when he was at the top of his game, you know, was hitting the ball 400 yards, he was struggling with toe hits because he would lose so much yardage. And so he remarked that he was 25 yards longer with a high heat 257 plus on his toe hits than with any other brand. He's hit them all.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
That is really awesome. Well, what you mentioned about Tiger and Jordan, clearly we're recording this the week of the Masters, but we're going to be publishing it a couple weeks later. So that's why we didn't comment on how well Tiger did if he even made the cut.
You're right.
But I also want to let our audience know that you're going to get 15% off the sale of any one of these clubs. So that is got to send you to knuthgolf.com and check out these clubs, because you're going to want to put one in your hand, especially if you're going to hit it off the toe or off the heel and it's going to go as far and it's going to go straight. It's going to solve a lot of problems for a lot of golfers.
Yeah. And I just, when you go and put your order in, at checkout, it asks you, where did you hear about it? And if you select from, there's a scroll down list, if you select Golf Smarter, then you will get that 15% discount.
That's amazing. Well, Dean, congratulations on the awards. Congratulations I just don't get it why you're the only one who's doing this, but I'm really happy that you did and that we got to hear about it first. Because I'm sure that the manufacturers are going to be coming up with it in the next, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. I just don't get why they don't do that. But that's okay. Screw them. Fine. Their head's in the sand. And yours is way out in front of everybody else's. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
It was great talking to you again. And thanks for coming back on and for participating in Golf Smarter. And give my best to Steve. And again, this is a really amazing deal for a club that's going to save you strokes, because if you just listen to the announcers on these major events and any weekend, you say, boy, he'd be so much better if he just put it in the fairway. Right?
Very important.
Yeah. And this club, tell me, Dean, is this club going to put you in the fairway?
It's going to put you, you have a better chance of being in the fairway and being long than with any other club. I mean, I've seen it personally and heard it from a lot of experts. And so it's terrific. And really, what we find is that your longest drive will now become your average drive if you're playing the high heat 257 plus.
Take advantage of it. 15% off. These clubs are pretty awesome. And the fact that, I mean, you heard me. I'm listening to this a couple weeks after we did it. And I'm telling you, I'm blown away that he's taking advantage of a rule that other manufacturers have yet to pick up on. This man is very smart and knows what he's doing. It's going to help your game. This week on our Golf Smarter Academy, Alan from Atlanta is concerned about something that's actually quite appropriate for today's show, since he doesn't always hit the ball in the center of the club face. But our Academy professor, Tony Manzoni, has some advice that can save him some money. Although, Alan, you should still take advantage of the 15% discount you get from purchasing a new High Heat 257 Plus with the checkout code GOLFSMARTER.
Hi, Fred. My name is Alan Taylor, and I am calling from Atlanta, Georgia. And my question is, no matter what I do, I continually hit my irons off the toe. So the ball marks are always on the toe of the club, and I can't figure out how to hit the ball in the center of the club more often. Thank you.
Hi, Alan. I heard your question, and there's a number of issues here. If you're hitting the ball on the toe all the time, first of all, you need to have your clubs checked to make sure that the lie angle is correct for your swing, because if it's too upright, you are going to hit toe hits. A second cause might be that at impact, you're straightening up so that your stomach is going towards the ball, which is very common, and you're getting a bit taller. Again, that pulls the club away from the ball, causing toe hits. And then the last one would be, you might be standing a little too close to the ball. And so consequently, you're getting out of the way of your arms coming down into the ball and hitting it on the toe. I would probably guess it's either the clubs are not set up properly for you lie angle wise, or you're doing what they call body propulsion. You're trying to get the ball up in the air with your body, which makes you get taller. And that's a very common fault. So you got to keep your spine angle throughout the motion. Make sure that you're not bent over too much with your spine angle, because then you're going to try to get back to a more comfortable position. So stand as tall as you can comfortably and stay in that position throughout the impact period. And you should do pretty well with it. Good luck.
Good luck, Alan. Please call our toll-free Golf Smarter Academy line. The number is, oh, have you been listening? Then maybe you can sing along with me on this one. Here we go. 415-761-1498. That's the Golf Smarter Academy line, 415-761-1498. Call it right now and leave your message. Not only will you get an answer on the podcast, but you'll also receive a free copy of Tony's DVD, The Lost Fundamental. You'll get a Golf Smarter Academy diploma, and you can frame it. and you'll also get a Golf Smarter ball marker. For all the information on our Golf Smarter Academy, go to golfsmarter.com/academy. Questions, comments, or suggestions are always welcome. Use @GolfSmarter on Twitter or on Instagram. Call the Academy line at 415-761-1498. I hear you singing. Or click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.